Welcome to the KNKX Studio X in the heart of downtown Seattle. I'm Abe Beeson, presenting an exclusive studio session performance with Riley Mulherker and his quartet. He's a founding member of the famed brass quartet, the Westerlies. Mulherker's debut album as a leader, Riley, just came out today. We're so excited. The Seattle native has been in New York since graduating from Garfield High School about 15 years ago, but he's retained plenty of connections around town. Recently called the homiest of homies, Mulherker is back in town celebrating his new album. He's leading his quartet at the Royal Room tonight. Hope you've got your tickets. It's sold out. You may be able to get some standing room if you're lucky. The new record, Riley, shows off incredible technique, an array of trumpet sounds in a modern context with electronic keyboards, detailed production, and a close tie to tradition. I'm so excited to hear this band with Chris Patashall at the keys, Russell Hall on bass, and one of the Northwest's favorite drummers, Mr. Chris Caziano. Here's Riley Mulherker in the KNKX Studio X. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's not bury the lead. Riley is out today, the album, your first one. When I saw you a couple weeks ago, you said, well, it's been a long time coming. You've been working on this for 5 years?
I've been working on this record for 5 years, yeah. We started sketching it out in 2018. And of course, we got slowed down a little bit from the pandemic, but also, you know, we really took our time. And we, you know, each song took us to unexpected places, and we sort of took the time to allow it to do that. So it's been really rewarding.
And composition-wise, over 5 years, you said Ride and Die you've had in your pocket for a while.
Yeah.
Is that the way most of the album was? It's like, well, I've had these songs for a while. I just need to get them arranged and recorded. And
yeah, sort of like that. I mean, by late 2018, I had a sense of what all the repertoire was, but how it was going to be realized, you know, was a different journey with each piece. And thanks to Chris and to Rafiq, the producers, we really, I mean, some songs we knew off the jump, like Stardust was pretty straight ahead, but other songs, it literally took years to sort of crack and figure out how are we going to, like King Porter Stomp, that one was the hardest.
I say success on the King Porter Stomp, because while it sounds familiar, that doesn't sound like the King, I think you would have to be a real jazz head to know the history of that song.
Yeah, I'm really proud of what we found on that, because everything I'm playing is pretty much the melody, but we found just sort of new ways to build textures around it that are totally different than obviously what Jelly Roll and King Oliver would have done. But in all honesty, I mean, like the backbeat and the pulse and all that stuff, like that's the excitement I get when I listen to Jelly Roll and King Oliver play it. So that's what we wanted to bring into the record. And now we're just starting to figure out how to bring that to the live setting as well.
And you've said we and we're a few times. Yeah. Let's talk about the collaborations a little bit. Not just the bandmates, but your production, your producer, Rafiq Bhatia.
Rafiq and Chris Pattershall.
And Chris Pattershall also.
So both of them, they go back to their high school days. So they came from North Carolina, but coming from Seattle, I get what those friendships are all about, you know. And so they work together very closely with me from the jump on each one of these songs.
And there is a vocal piece on the album as well,
yes.
A really beautiful, modernized gospel piece.
Yes, Vuyo Satoshi, who I'm so sad, is not here with us today. But we encountered this song that comes from, the first documentation we have of it is from the Lomax archives from the Parchment Farm, Mississippi State Penitentiary. And it's this song that struck us in such a way that once you hear it, especially if you hear that original recording, it sort of never leaves you. And we took it into the studio, and Vuyo, we captured this performance that just sort of shakes you to your core. And we got to sample we got permission from the Lomax estate to sample some of the sounds from the original recording. So there's sort of an interplay between the past and the present in that way.
Now, I think a lot of people, especially around the Northwest, are familiar with your work with the Westerlies, strictly acoustic brass quartet. This is so much fun to see you on the electric side, which I know is not brand new to you. This is something you've been developing over years.
Yeah. You know, there is that sort of divide, but, you know, the Westerlies, we get up and play. It's so much simpler to tour, just four horns acoustic. But when we record with the Westerlies, we're getting into a lot of these types of things as well. Close mic stuff, delays, reverbs, extended techniques, and finding out how to treat them in certain ways. So it feels of the same sort of sonic language, even though, obviously, as a listener, I'm sure it can be drastically different in live performance.
Now, something I found so fascinating about the album, and it kind of recalls some of your work with the Westerlies, too, is how many different sounds you get out of that simple instrument there, from the growls to the breathiness to beyond the electronics too. It's really something.
Yeah, I mean, and I think for us in making this record too, we wanted the electronic and the sound design elements to only enhance what already existed. So really trying to find the sounds of the trumpet and then take the listener so they feel like they're inside the bell of the instrument in that way.
As far as blending the original tunes with the standards on the record, there's also a Gershwin song on there. Was that ever a concern? It's like not only do you have to kind of rework and make those standards your own, but you've got to raise your own originals up to the level of Stardust and King Porter Stomp.
I mean, but sometimes it's freeing because you know that you can't match. If you do it the same, it's never going to be what you want it to be. So it forces you to find a new way through it. And sometimes that's the most helpful thing, because Honeyman is a huge departure from, I mean, the original Gershwin Porgy and Bess. My inspiration, my favorite record of all time is Miles and Gail Evans' Porgy and Bess. And so that's where the inspiration came from. But I could play that 100 times trying to be like Miles, and I'm going to fall short every time. So it was a good challenge to just find a new way through it.
Well, it's a reminder too, Miles is never going to sound like Riley Mulherker.
Hey.
Somebody said in social media the other day about telling everybody to go out to your show at the Royal Room tonight, which is sold out. The homiest of homies. So your great Seattle connections you have, not only with Seattle drummer Chris Acasiano in the band.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about keeping all your friends that you, grew up
with
around here.
The community I grew up with in Seattle so strong, both in terms of the music education ecosystem coming up through Washington Middle School, Garfield High School, Robert Knatt, Clarence Acox, all that, but also the scene here and everyone who's contributing to it in such a lasting way. So partially because of the Westerlies and just because of other relationships, I've been able to, maintain this community here in Seattle and as much as I can tie it into my life in New York. So I'm really grateful that every time I come home, not only are there great people to play with and hang with, but it really doesn't feel like a separation from New York. It all feels like who I am as a musician and as a person today. And I just saw you a week ago. We were out here celebrating Clarence Acox. I got to play with SRJO. And it's just like when you come from a place this rich, you'd be foolish to leave it behind for New York. It's like, this is where it's at,
I appreciate that. So the full album, Riley, is out. 5 years. It's done. Whew.
Yes.
But now you got to pull it off live. Tell us how you feel about that.
Well, I should ask them how they feel. Thank you. We workshopped some material before we were recording, of course, and we had a couple like workshop performances of it, but those were acoustic, mostly acoustic. So this was literally the first time this afternoon where we were putting all these things together and seeing how it works. I'm really excited with what we're finding and how it's sounding. And also, there's this great line from John Cage's Rules for Students and Teachers about consider everything an experiment. So we're just experimenting and seeing what we can find. We'll see what we find tonight at the Royal Room. And I'm sure, years down the road, it could be totally different. And that's great, too.
And Riley, the album is out on the Westerlies Records.
That's right.
Should we expect more music from Westerlies on their own?
Yes. We got a lot coming up in the next year or two. And also what's exciting with the label is that, it gives us an outlet to release other music that we believe in. So solo projects like this one. And last year we released our first non-Westerlies release, which was a record of Robin Holcomb's. And she's got another one coming this spring to watch out for.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Riley Mulherker. So great to have you
thank
back
you,
in town.
Abe. It's always
the new
the
record
best.
Sounds fantastic. Now, let's hear it one more time.
Thanks, everyone.
Riley Mulherker, Chris Padishaw at the keys, Russell Hall bass, Chris Acasiano drums. The new album is Riley. Sold out the Royal Room tonight. Thanks so much to our KNKX Studio X team. Audio engineer Brian Moynihan, video producer Parker Blohm, assisted by Paige Dahlke. Extra big thanks to promotions director Brenda Goldstein-Young. I'm Abe Beeson. Thanks to you for listening and for your support.